word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible. The Bible teaches us that if we have a faith that is even the size of a mustard seed, the possibilities for us are endless. Because there's nothing that's impossible for God. Those who have faith in God will find that their possibilities are endless. A daring faith can move mountains because God can move mountains. But the truth is that we may often feel that our faith is even smaller than a mustard seed. In our lesson today, we're going to study a story from the Scripture, an occasion when Jesus interacted with a father who had a son who had a terrible problem. And in this story, this father is struggling with unbelief. But he was able to rise from that unbelief and develop a daring faith in Jesus. In this story, we see the power of Jesus to help this man and to help his son rise up out of that valley of despair. And we pray that along the way, we will learn some things that will strengthen our faith and help us to have a faith that can move mountains. Our problem may not be identical to his, but we all face problems. We all face discouragement and despair. Satan tempts us all in different ways, but he tempts us all. And when we go through these hard times in life, these painful moments, it's such a challenge for us to keep believing that things can get better, to keep believing through the pain, through the discomfort, and through the difficulty. We all face those moments where we struggle with unbelief. But we can rise out of that unbelief, have the faith of the faith of a mustard seed, and have that faith that can move these mountains out of our way with God's help. And today we're studying about how to make that possible. So let's look into this story from the life of Jesus. It's recorded in Mark chapter 9. We'll start in verse 17. And the story starts with a father and his desperate plea. In Mark 9, 17 and 18, the Bible says that then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes or grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid." This was a period of time when the disciples had been separated from Jesus for a little while, and things had not gone very well. Jesus had given them power to heal sickness and to cast out demons, just as he possessed, and they'd had great success with that. But on this particular day, they met a situation that they couldn't handle. This man had a son with an evil spirit that had taken over his body. It was a mute spirit, so the son could not communicate with the father. The spirit would seize the boy and take hold of him, throw him to the ground and throw him into things and throw him in a fire and throw him in the water. He was prone to these fits where he would begin to foam at the mouth and grind his teeth, and his muscles, his joints would become so stiff and so rigid that you couldn't even bend him or move him. And the only question is here, who suffered more, the son or the father? Truly, the father suffered much watching his son deal with this situation. This had been going on for quite some time. The father never knew when an episode was going to occur, so he's having to constantly watch him night and day, trying to prevent him from injuring himself or getting hurt, constantly watching him anytime he was near water because he was afraid that he would drown. There really are no words to describe the stress on this man's heart, both physically and emotionally, just constantly worried about his son's health and happiness. And beyond that, missing out on all of the little things that a father really enjoys, just being able to carry on a conversation with his son, just to be able to say, "I love you," and know that he understands, and to be able to hear him say the same thing. This father, he comes and he begs Jesus for help because he's desperate. He would gladly give up every cent he owns and every cent he could borrow just to help his son. He hopes that Jesus will be able to help. In Mark 9:18-19, the Bible says that the father says, "I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." You know, I picture this father. He brings his son to the disciples. He'd heard about the kind of things they could do. He must have been so excited by the hope that they could cast this spirit out of him. But then I can only imagine how his heart must have plummeted when they failed. They tried to cast out the spirit, but they couldn't do it. In another text, Jesus explained to them that the kind of spirit that this boy had could only come out by prayer and fasting. And that's why the disciples could not cast him out. They were weak in their faith and weak in their connection to the Lord. They put too much emphasis on their own ability and too little emphasis on what God could do. You know, it's not just about having faith, but it's having faith that's in the right place. Our faith should not be in ourselves and what we can do. Our faith should be in God and what He can do, and we should recognize that we are broken, that we are weak, that we are powerless without Him. All of our faith is in Him and what He can do. And the more time we spend in prayer and the more time we spend focused on Him, the more we realize that. Jesus was consistent throughout His life in spending time in prayer and spending time fasting and spending time connecting with His Father in heaven. And that's why He had the strength to handle situations like this. He says, "O faithless generation, what more do I have to do to prove my abilities to you?" You know, these folks, they never stopped believing in the existence of God. They never stopped believing that Jesus was the Son of God. But sometimes we may lose our confidence that our faith can really make a difference. That our faith could ever make a difference in this problem that we're dealing with. We still believe that God exists, but do we really believe that God can help me with this? That's the place where our faith is tested the most, I believe. Jesus wants us to be relentless in believing that nothing is impossible for Him, that nothing is too much for Him to handle. In Mark 9, verses 20 through 22, the Bible says that they brought the son to Jesus. And when Jesus saw him, he immediately Immediately the spirit convulsed him. He fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. Often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." As they're bringing the boy to Jesus, the spirit convulses him. These spirits were not stupid. On another occasion, when Jesus approached a man who was possessed by an evil spirit, the spirit cried out from in him and said, "Who art thou, Son of Man, a Son of God, hast thou come to torment us before the time?" Those spirits, they knew who Jesus was. They knew the power that he had. And my guess would be, is that when this spirit saw Jesus coming, he knew his time was limited. He knew what Jesus could do. And he knew that if he was going to destroy the boy, he would need to do it quickly. You know, I find that rather ironic. I think that evil spirit had more faith in what Jesus could do than anybody else in this story. The disciples couldn't cast out that spirit because evidently they were lacking in their belief as to what God could do. The Father, as we're about to see, he's struggling to keep believing in what Jesus could do. But the Spirit had no doubt about what Jesus could do. Wouldn't it be nice if we had as much faith in what Jesus can do as this demon did? Jesus asked the Father, "How long has this been happening?" Jesus didn't ask that for information. He, as God, he knows all things. He knew the situation. But by asking the Father that question, what Jesus did is he gave the crowd an opportunity to see the magnitude of the situation. And when they realized how long this had been going on, they would be even more impressed with the magnitude of this miracle. But I think another thing that's happening here is that one of the healthiest things that we can do when we're dealing with a painful situation is to be able to talk to someone about it. And I think when Jesus asked this man about his problem, he's giving him an opportunity to share his heart and to share his problem, and there's a great deal of healing that can take place in that. The Father begged Jesus, if you can do anything. It's really not a matter of if. Jesus can do anything. His Father's not quite sure about that yet. He's hoping. He begs Jesus, "Have compassion on us and help us." Well, in Mark 9, 23 and 24, the Bible says that Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." All things are possible to him who believes. What's the one thing that comes to your mind that you struggle with, that you'd like to be able to overcome, but you wonder if it's really possible? Maybe there's a situation in your life with someone that you love or something like that, and you really would like to be able to fix it. Maybe it's been a problem for a long time, and you're just not sure if at this point it's something that can be fixed. I pray that Jesus' words could come through loud and clear to us in these kinds of situations. When he says that all things are possible. Now, all doesn't mean some things. Doesn't mean everything else except my problem. It doesn't even mean most things. All means all. And Jesus says that all things are possible to him who believes. And that's the lesson that Jesus really is trying to teach here in this situation. It's a lesson that the Father needed to learn and a lesson that the disciples needed to learn. And you can't help but appreciate the Father's honest response here when he says, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." He was honest enough to admit that even though he did believe in Jesus' power, he was struggling with doubt. And he sure did not want his doubts to keep his son from being healed. You know, when you've been through as much heartache as he has, it's easy to become numb. It's a way of protecting yourself from disappointment. You don't want to get your hopes up only to watch them come crashing down to failure. So if you just expect things to go badly, then you don't have to worry about being disappointed. This man knows he's going to need some help to really believe that things can get better. I don't mean to sound harsh in judging him, because if I would be honest, I've been guilty of the same thing myself. I'm sure we all have at some point or another. Just as desperately as he begged Jesus to help his son, now equally so he begs Jesus with tears to help his unbelief. And I love the way that Jesus responds to him. He's so patient with us. He's so understanding, gracious, and merciful. He didn't tell the man, "You know, you ought to know better than that. You've seen the miracles I've done. If you can't believe any better than that, then you just go on back home. You can deal with your problem yourself." He wasn't unkind like that. He didn't say, "Come back to me when your faith is 100%. Jesus doesn't ask us to be perfect, but he does ask us to be humble and to be honest and to be willing to change and grow. You can definitely say that for this man. Even he acknowledges he has some unbelief, but he's humble, he's honest, and he's willing to change. Jesus can work with a person like that. That's a major difference, I think, between him and the disciples. When they tried and failed, they just assumed that it was impossible. You know, they weren't humble, and they weren't willing to change. This man is. So the Bible tells us in Mark 9:25-27, that when Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." And then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. It's interesting to me that the text says that Jesus rebuked this spirit. Jesus was angry with this spirit that had caused this boy and this father so much pain. He hates our pain and our suffering just as badly as we do. He's on our side. When the spirit came out, it convulsed the boy. He was so exhausted and traumatized by the violent convulsions that he just lay there still. He became so much like a corpse that people thought he was dead. Jesus tenderly and compassionately took him by the hand and raised him up to his feet, gave him back to his father. Now he could play just like the other boys. No more fear of falling into the fire or falling into the water and being drowned. No more foaming at the mouth like an animal. No more grinding his teeth. Now he and his father could talk about all of the things they wanted to talk about and catch up on all of the things they'd missed. Now the father could say, "I love you." The son would understand and would respond back, "I love you too, Dad." They could sing and pray together. And no doubt they often gave thanks to Jesus together and praised his name. In fact, I can just picture them now in paradise somewhere, so grateful for the day that they met Jesus. Folks, we should never doubt the difference that Jesus can make in any situation. If we have a faith that's even the size of a mustard seed in what he can do, then there are no limits to what our faith can accomplish. In Mark 9, 28 and 29, the Bible says that when they came into the house, the disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." I mentioned this earlier, but this was a lesson for the disciples as much as it was for the Father and the Son. They were confused and wanted to know why they had failed, and the Lord explained that some problems are persistent because they force us to realize our need for the Lord, that we can't fix it on our own. We can only address these situations by deepening our devotion and our dependence on the Lord, by learning to trust his strength and not our own. You know, I can't help but just stop and think about that father's statement, his prayer, "Help my unbelief." You ever needed help for your unbelief? I have. Why is it so difficult for us to trust the Lord? We know his power. His power is infinite. There's nothing too hard for him. His wisdom is infinite. There's no situation that he doesn't know how to handle it. And we know he is faithful. He'll never forget us or abandon us. Yet still we do sometimes struggle to trust him the way we can and should. I'd like for us to think here for just a moment about possible reasons why that's so difficult for us. Maybe by better understanding why it's difficult, we can do something about it so it won't be so difficult. It's a constant process of working on this, but the more we work on it, the better off our lives will be and the closer we'll be to the Lord, and that's what matters most. I think one reason is that sometimes we focus too much on the failures of the past, and we don't focus enough on the fact that God is with us in the moment. The father thinks about all of the failed attempts in the past, every road he went down trying to help his son that just turned out to be a dead end. And then he comes to the disciples, and then that's just another dead end, and that just makes it worse. For those who deal with addiction, relapse is it's one of the biggest hurdles to have to overcome, and finding some health and finding some peace and motivation to move forward. When we think about all of the failures of the past, we find it difficult to believe that the present and the future can really be different. For many people, life has just not handed them many situations that suggest that the world is a safe place. They've been through trauma. Maybe you've faced abuse, or you've faced neglect, or you've faced some hurtful moments that have lingered, and the world just doesn't feel safe. And in these situations, it's so easy to become numb. Like that father, he just had so many negative experiences in the past, it was hard to be positive in the present. But for one thing, God's grace and forgiveness means that the present does not have to be haunted by the past. And furthermore, it's more beneficial for us. I'm not minimizing how painful some of these traumas and experiences have been, but if we're going to move past the pain of our past, then it will require that we focus more and more on the fact that God is here with us in the present. In Philippians 3:13, Paul said, "I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead." Sometimes in order to overcome our unbelief, we have to do that. We have to forget the things that are behind and reach forward. Here's another thing. I believe sometimes we struggle with unbelief because we focus on our own weaknesses instead of focusing on God's strengths. Moses, when he was called to go and lead God's people out of slavery, he doubted. He had unbelief about whether or not he could be the leader that God wanted him to be. "They won't believe me, Lord. I'm not convincing. I'm not eloquent of speech. I've made mistakes. I've been away for so long." Excuse after excuse after excuse. He was just filled with unbelief. Exodus chapter 3 and 4. We do ourselves a tremendous disservice when we look at ourselves and we only see the negative things. Eventually, Moses was able to move forward out of that wilderness and do some great things. He started to focus on the fact that God would be with him, that God would strengthen him and help him to do the things he needed to do. And with that, he was able to lay aside some of that baggage from the past and some of that fear and go on and be a great leader. If we start really focusing on our own weaknesses, we're going to struggle with unbelief. So we need to focus on the strength of God to get us through that. Here's another thing. We may be focusing more on the pain than the purpose. It's incredibly difficult to keep the faith when bad things are happening. It's easy to see only the problems and the challenges and lose sight of the blessings. Joseph was able to survive through some very difficult circumstances because he kept believing that God had a purpose for his life and that ultimately each hill that he had to climb would bring him closer to God. Each valley that he had to go through would teach him more about God, and that God would use him to fulfill his purpose. And God did that through Joseph, and God can do that through each one of us. God has a way of making all things work together for good. We have to focus on the purpose instead of just the pain, and we have to focus on the certainty of God's power, not just the unknowns of the future. We just never cease to be amazed by the situations that our Lord can handle. And we have to keep working to grow in our faith that we believe that He can handle any situation. Have that faith that will cut through the doubts and unbelief that rise up in our hearts. We're all going to face disappointment and we're all going to face failure, but they do not have to lead to unbelief. We can turn our attention to the Lord, and He will help our unbelief.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10, 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.